We continue our reading of the prophet Isaiah, coming today to chapter 56. I'm going to read just the first eight verses. It's a section, a new verse section starts at verse 9 of this chapter. Now we begin the third main section and portion of the prophet Isaiah. I've been saying that it really there's three big portions of Isaiah. Chapters 1 to 39 is the covenant lawsuit to his own generation, the events of Sennacherib's invasion. The chapters 40 to 55 is his prophetic word to those Jewish people who would be in Babylonian exile, the promises of the restoration, looking ahead to Christ. And we finished that up, one of the greatest portions of all Scripture. Starting in chapter 56, going to the end of the book, he's actually speaking to us. The prophet is writing into that era of a history after the Messiah has come. Now, we know it from the content. For instance, in our passage, he refers to eunuchs being admitted into the covenant of people and being able to flourish in the courts of the Lord. Well, under the Mosaic law, according to the Mosaic law, a eunuch was not allowed into the temple. And by the way, that's a wonderful thing he's saying. It's a great picture of Christianity. Those who are outcasts, those who are broken and scarred by shame and feel, in fact, under the old covenant, they weren't admitted into the temple because they symbolize uncleanness. They feel cut off from the blessings of God. I wonder if you feel that way. I wonder how many people in our world today, in our broken society, feel that they're just too shameful, they're too broken, that what's happened to them disqualifies them for fellowship with God or for fruitfulness. And look what's said here to the eunuch who said, "Behold, I'm a dry tree. That's my life. There's no fruit to it at all. It's just all dead." He says, "No, that eunuch who walks in my ways, I will give him an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." He goes on and talks about the Sabbath. He'll talk about the Sabbath quite a lot in this section. The Sabbath is the sign of the Mosaic covenant. And one of the things he's saying as he looks into our generation is that the new covenant does not just put an end to everything from the old covenant. It brings it to maturity. And the things like the Sabbath, but there's other things that were practiced in the Old Testament. Yes, they're practiced in Christ. There's a transformation of them, but that which was their calling is fulfilled for us. It's a great passage that shows the essential unity of the covenants and of the way of life with God. Now, the big message in these brief verses is that our age of history has the purpose of the ingathering of the nations in Christ for salvation and the knowledge of glory of God. That language is all through here. In fact, Jesus quotes from verse 7 when he cleanses the temple. He says, "This is supposed to be a house of prayer for all peoples." Well, what a joy it is to look back. Oh, we're now 2,700 years since Isaiah wrote this. How likely was it then that the religion being practiced in Jerusalem around 700 BC would have spread all around the world? But here we are in South Carolina. People are all over the world. It's been true. I remember well many years ago being in the living room of the Robertsons, and Palmer was doing a Wednesday night Bible study. And the passage was Micah chapter 2. In the latter days, and these are the latter days we're living in, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be lifted up above all the hills, and the nations will stream in, saying, "Come, teach us to walk in his ways." We're the living proof of these prophecies, but it's still going on. I like to point out that while the church has many purposes, the purpose of this age of history in which we live, that began with the first coming of Christ, that will come to a conclusion when our Lord returns, the purpose, according to his great commission, according to these prophecies, is that the gospel of Jesus would be spread to every nation, tribe, language, and tongue, and that the elect of all peoples would be gathered in. What a thrill it is for us as a church to be part of the Great Commission. It is the great mission given to us, and we are ourselves a fulfillment of what is promised of the new covenant in Christ in these verses. Well, that was a lot. Give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Isaiah 56, 1-8. "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hands from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall never be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love in the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him, besides those already gathered. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.